The never-ending saga of real estate woes continues unabated. Provincial and city governments at every turn continue to mess it up. Home ownership and home rental is getting harder to acquire. At last estimate, the vacancy rate on rental properties was between 0.3 and 0.9%, making it next to impossible to get affordable rental housing. New homes are equally difficult to purchase, especially in the mid-range. That's a home with three bedrooms. Oh, and forget the idea of a new three-bedroom and den. This is forcing a paradigm shift in thinking about what is a mid-range home. Density is another issue. We've built transit lines, and in many areas, we've restricted density around stations that are underutilized because they're in areas that are zoned for single-family homes. There's a chorus of voices that cry out for more development. Property developers say they'd happily build it if only they could get through the stifling permit process. A permitting process that is slow and has fees that are an upward moving target. Fees that ensure the building of rental housing doesn't make sense. Fees that are adding up to $200,000 to new homes, and in doing so, driving up prices, the very thing governments say they want to decrease. We invited Ann McMullen of the Urban Development Institute to join us for a conversation that matters about strategies she says could go a long way to relieve the pressure on the Greater Vancouver housing market.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're in a housing market that's a bit of a mess. You know, I had Tom Davidoff on a couple of months ago, and he said, you know, the problem was created by God. He made a beautiful place to live and screwed up by man. We get in there and we muddle with it, and we continue to muddle with it. From your perspective, you're the UDI Urban Development Institute. Where are we at, and what do we need to do to try and create more housing, affordable housing, solve some of these issues that are on top of everybody's mind these days?
Yes, we are. People call it a housing crisis, you just called it a mess. I think that what we are is in a very, very difficult place, and it is very frustrating for people who are trying to live here, who already live here, for people who are perhaps trying to move out of their parents' home and find a place to live. And it's taken us a long time to get here, and it may take us a little while to get out of it. There are so many things that need to be done, and I think the unfortunate thing is there's been a lot of policies and political maneuvers that have been done, but those are not solving the issue. I think they're popular with some people because they feel, well, at least they did something. Mm-hmm. But we also know that the majority of people realize that the measures that the governments have taken are not going to solve it. We need to build more homes. We need to build a diversity of homes, a number of different types of homes. You know, the way we've been planning, it's largely been the single family homes that have been sort of what we call calcified, and in the sense that, you know, we're not changing those neighborhoods, and I understand why people don't want change. So we've been forced to build homes in a very small part of the land base. As a result, we've had very large towers and not a lot in between. Mm-hmm. So we need to find opportunities to build different types of housing, duplexes, fourplexes, mid-rise, low-rise, townhomes, row houses, the sort of things that, you know, can be more affordable. But again, it's giving people options. You know, we can talk about this, all the type of solutions and how we got here and how do we all work together to try to make things better for all of us.
Well, let's start with rental housing, yeah, because there seems to be a focus on that right now. I just heard something today. The provincial government is now, you know, tightening up rent increases, and already I'm trying to understand why anybody would want to invest in building new rental housing.
That's the problem. And again, I go back to sort of what I would call partisan or political statements. Is yes, rents are high. Yes, there's a very, very low vacancy. What is it? 0% vacancy rate. There's
less than that. 0.9 to 0.3 or something.
Yeah. And the, you know, every year the government comes out with a number where you're allowed to increase the amount of rent based on cost of living plus about 2%, which really accounts for, you know, increases in taxes and fees and repairs and all those sort of things, which has worked well. Mm-hmm. And then there was this, you know, public outcry that the rents are going to, there's the possibility that rents could go up as much as 4.5%. And now the rental task force from the provincial government is recommending that it be only 2%, only be cost of living. And that sounds good. People go, oh, great, let's have a break for renters. It might sound good, but don't forget there's all those other costs about maintaining a building that are over and above the cost of living. So what effectively that means is that will stop the development and the building of new rental homes.
Well, I look at it and
think, We saw it in Toronto. Right. It's working in Ontario, but Ontario also has other mechanisms in order to be able to raise the rents over and above that cost of living allowance. It just put the brakes on it in Ontario, and it will put the brakes on here. Already, we're starting to see developers or builders who are pulling back from building rental because of all the fees and charges and the time that it takes to build rental, and also even sometimes the community opposition. Mm-hmm. So what we were already seeing money leave, and this is just, it's going to freeze it. I mean, there's going to be a big whooshing sound. And it's not good. I mean, I don't mean to laugh. It's just, it's frustrating. You know, when governments come up with something they think is publicly palatable, and it sounds good, but if you really think about it, it doesn't work. What it means will be less rental homes, less homes for people to live in. And what does that mean? The vacancy rate, it means prices, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult.
I just got to get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Sorry for the interruption, but I need your help. I'm asking you to support the show by becoming a patron. That means pledging $1 per show. Conversations is a unique program. There's no grandstanding, no arguing, no yelling. Instead, I sit down with people who have unique insights, specialized knowledge, and experiences that inform and enlighten. And we do this on an incredibly limited budget with a very small crew. Well, this is my office, and it's where I edit the show. And then once it's ready, we give it away. You know, so many different websites around the world are carrying the show, but they get it for free. They don't pay us. So I'm asking you to pledge $1 per show by going to patreon.com/conversationsthatmatter. Thanks. We want to keep producing conversations, and with your help, we can. Now let's get back to the show.
I can understand it from a government's perspective because they say, look at what we're doing for renters. There's far more potential renters who are voters than there are developers. Developers are a few.
Sure.
And so the developers don't carry with them the same number of votes.
Right.
And so they go, okay, well, big deal. So you get pinched. But the problem is human beings who, especially when you're investing your money in something, you're going to go, am I going to put it in this that's just going to sit there and stagnate because you're capping the increase in value on the property, so I'm not making the money there. You're telling me I barely can make enough money to cover my costs. Well, as a business decision, it's a bad decision.
It is a bad decision. And as well, the NDP government has pledged 114,000 rental units over the next 10 years or something like that. They say 50% of them have got to come from the private sector in partnership with government. Why would you do that? You're not going to do that to lose money, you know, and I think people say, well, you know, it's time that people don't profit off of housing. Well, you know, I think that we have to recognize if you're going to invest and build rental homes for people to live in that are for rent, you're not going to do it for free unless the government invests, and sure, the government has a role to play. But, you know, are we going to turn our entire housing industry into, you know, state housing? I don't think so.
Well, we've seen what the result of that is in other jurisdictions.
And it doesn't work.
The housing is horrible. The quality goes down.
So that's what you're saying. You can vote. You know, yes, you can vote for this government because it's saying that it's looking after you. But what you're doing is you're effectively voting yourself out of a home.
Right, because it's become so onerous. And then, you know, we talk about new home. Okay, well then let's increase the supply of new homes. But rental housing runs into the same challenge that new homes do. There seems to be shifting targets on what is and isn't allowable, what the fees are, the permitting process. And it's getting to the point where I believe there was a report that just came out that said that on an $800,000 condo, $200,000 of that is basically to pay for the fees on that one unit.
That's right. In fact, it can be even higher when you look at fees, taxes, and other charges. It can be up to $300,000. You know, but we said on a $900,000 home, it was about $300,000 in fees, charges. And people say, well, you know, it comes out of the price of land. It doesn't. Not when we have a land base that is so constrained here in the Lower Mainland. So, you know, we've seen prices go up, you know, the costs have gone up, the approval times have gone up. You know, just in the last 6 or 8 years, the time took when a person makes an application to build homes, it's gone from about 2 to 3 years to about 5 to 7 years. So anybody understands that if you're, that costs money. So you've got the holding cost, you've got the people on staff, you've got, you know, you're working on negotiations, you know, and that is, that's also homes that are not coming into the marketplace. You know, I said a sort of a frightening statistic, and, you know, we've got to really look for solutions, because when we, when I said to the premier, I said, you know, you're pledging 114,000 units, 114,000 rental homes, you know, over the next 10 years. I said, if it takes 4 to 6 years to even get approval, I said, you'll be out of office before even one rental unit is built. So, and then if you think that, you know, you sort of say, well, we're almost a generation away from fixing this. If it takes 4 to 6 years, 5 to 7 years for approval, and then it takes 2 to 3 years to build, that's 8 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, we really need to be looking at how do we plan our cities? What do our cities look like? Rather than sort of fighting this over neighborhood, I think we all need to come together and say, if there's, you know, a certain amount of people moving into the city of Vancouver or the city of North End, what does that look like? How do we house them? Is it duplexes here? Is it row homes here and towers along the corridor? Whereas what we tend to do is say, well, you know, how do you want your city to change or your community to change? And the automatic response is, I don't want it to change. Rather than, okay, we know we need to build these number of homes each year, mm-hmm. how, what does it look like? And let's be part of that process. You know, you talk, the public hearing process is broken. It goes on for days, you know, where you get, you know, just really a handful of people a day stand up and complain, and then, you know, municipalities make their decisions based on that. So, I, you know, it is a sort of, it is a wholesale change of how would the public hearing process, how the approval process, how we look at fees and charges and taxes. You know, the, I guess the problem is for governments is the real estate, the housing industry accounts for about 25% of the economy. Mm-hmm. Sort of the only industry that's making a lot of money. So what does governments do? They take the, you know, take, and then it has a negative impact. So, you know, there's so many things that, you know, that, that need to be done and just aren't getting done. Like we have, you know, mm-hmm. speculation tax, which is not a speculation tax. It's a tax on empty homes. And now it's actually a tax on land that is slated for development, which will be
which
building
is sitting
homes.
In the, but it's stuck in the process.
That's
the permitting
right. So you're adding more costs to
oh
the,
my gosh.
And time. That's right. Yeah. They talk about the schools tax. It's not for schools. It's just taking, adding more money to what is the school tax sort of pile. And again, it's going to apply for any land that is slated for home building. It's not just for, so, you know, these things don't do anything to create more homes for people. Certainly the market has flattened. We anticipated it was going to be flattening around this time. There's certain uncertainty with a change in government, different things happening. You know, the mortgage stress test has had a huge impact as well on that. But probably as we're unable to build more homes over the next little while, we will see a constraint in the marketplace, and we'll probably see prices rising again this time next year.
Is the price of housing in Vancouver completely out of whack? And I ask that question because I was having a conversation with a couple of different people from different places around the world who were here visiting, and they looked at the price of, let's say, a condo in downtown Vancouver, and they went, well, that's not bad. And I said, well, what would it cost for a similar condo in Shanghai? $2 million.
Yes.
And maybe even less space. And they go, but where would I rather live? I'd much rather live in Vancouver. They look at Vancouver, the quality of the air, the services, the quality
stability.
Of life, everything. On every measure, Vancouver is like a world-class city to him with discounted prices. But we, those of us who have lived in Vancouver for so long, go, oh my gosh, this is out of whack. Are we really out of whack?
We're out of whack when we look at our salaries. Mm-hmm. Salaries in this area are very low for whatever reason. You know, there's a number of different reasons. I suppose there's a demand for people wanting to live here, so employers can pay less because they know they can attract people because people want to live here. You know, you maybe have to woo somebody away from Vancouver to go to Toronto or Montreal, so you pay them more. So that's a big problem. The other issue is again, we have the demand or people moving here. We haven't built enough homes for the number of people that are moving here, and so prices have risen. So your parents, perhaps my parents, are also sitting an enormous amount of wealth because mm-hmm. of the rising prices, and that gets passed down onto the next generation. So there's half of the population that does have the equity, Mm-hmm. And it's also, they're competing against each other, and prices are also going up because, you know, you may earn, I don't know, $100,000 and you've saved up and you haven't saved up very much. Your parents then take out equity out of their home and they give you, you know, $50,000 or even $100,000. All of a sudden, you're sort of almost in the $150,000, $170,000 sort of tax bracket. You're in your ability to pay. Mm-hmm. So again, that also adds to rising prices. So
as an employer in a small business, the cost of housing is very important to me because I then have to say, well, how much can I afford to pay this person to do my work that I need to have done? Well, I can't afford that. My clients don't want to pay that
rate.
I look at a similar business to mine that's operating in New York. Their fees are astronomical compared to mine because
that's
they're
right.
used to that.
That's
it's
right.
as though we have to have a wholesale shift around what we think the value of things is in Vancouver if it has to be in relationship to real estate.
I agree. And again, you know, it does, so it is, like I said, out of whack based on salaries. And then it is also out of whack in that we have not been building enough homes for the amount of people that, you know, they say the ratio, what it should be, is about 1.7, you know, I don't know, we're too technical, but, you know, in the old days, I suppose, a family unit probably consisted of, in a home, was probably 2.5, maybe 3.5 people. Now the average home sort of is about 1.7 people, if you can say 1.7 of people. But, so, you know, we're looking at 45,000 people moving here every year. We're only building 20,000 homes. It doesn't add up. So you're going to have, you know, people don't like to hear the word supply, so I'm not going to say that, but it is about building, and you know, enough homes for the people that are moving here, and for downsizers, and for people that are moving out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got a house formation, and that house formation changes. Like I said, perhaps the parents are downsizing, and then the children are wanting to move into their own homes, and then so you actually have that sort of a bigger families.
Mm-hmm.
Moving out, and then yet smaller units are being built.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the mix that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about the sort of the mid-range home, and what is it now? It's no longer two or three bedrooms plus a den.
No.
It's getting smaller and smaller.
That's right.
And so then, how are we able to provide the kind of diversity of housing if people don't want to change neighborhoods and allow for a greater mix? That's going to go into those very neighborhoods that could accommodate a different mix of housing.
And that's the trouble. And if I had that answer, but it does come down to political leadership, I will say that. And the problem is, you know, we have municipal government. So we've got a federal government that comes up with an immigration policy. People move into the provinces, and they largely move into the three major cities in this country. And then it's our 23 municipalities in the Lower Mainland that are then expected to come up with the policies and the plans to house these people, to house, you know, the people that are moving here. And yet a fraction of the people vote for them, and municipal elections are razor thin.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would you, it's very difficult to make those big, bold decisions when there's a fear of being, you know, being voted out of office. And so how do we change that? How do you create that kind of leadership that's needed? And like I said, perhaps it's not saying, you know, how do you want your neighborhood to change? It's the neighborhood is going to change. These are the number of homes that are going to be built in this area. What should it look like?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have those conversations, and we have to, because otherwise this is just going to continue. Again, we've got 23 municipalities which are all planning for their own, without much of a regional, how do we look at this regionally? You know, our transportation plans are not connected. Mm. You know, our road plans aren't connected. You know, we have a system where we've got, you know, TransLink making decisions, but they report to the province, yet the municipalities have some say. You know, we're not, you know, making these multi-billion dollar investments, we should be having corresponding housing plans with these investments, right?
Well, which
doesn't make sense.
And we're putting in transit corridors, but not building allowing for the appropriate density along that very corridor.
Exactly. So if you look at the Canada Line, for example, we knew well in advance of 2010 that it was going to go in. The city of Richmond made a plan, a land use plan. How are we going to build so that when the Canada Line is finished, we will have homes around it, we will create areas so that people can get in there, you know, don't have to use a car, it will be cheaper, that, you know, that it's mm-hmm. better for the environment, all those sort of things. Same thing with the Evergreen line out to Coquitlam.
Right.
They knew well in advance, they're planning around it. They've done a remarkable job out in Coquitlam to accommodate for the Evergreen line. What has Port Moody done? Not very much.
Mm-hmm.
Along the Canada line, we're now, what is it, 2018? We're still building along the Canada line in the city of Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
8 years later.
I know there's great stretches where
it should have been done ages ago. You know, and it's and it's also, you know, one block at a time or one building at a time is a rezoning. It should have been pre-zoned. This is what it's going to look like, and let's get it built, and let's, you know, we don't build, people don't want things done quickly. Well, they only want one building at a time. I understand that. However, what that does is reduce competition. So you're not, where if you had sort of three or four buildings at a time, maybe they're people who are buyers can look and, you know, compete. Whereas the way we do it, not only is it not enough homes in the overall, we're not building, we're not bringing them in at the right time to create competition as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, all we're coming from, I represent the development industry. You know, they're in the business of making money. But I'm, you know, you're asking me what are the solutions. So those are the solutions. And in addition, you know, people say, well, it's not in your best interest. But if we're building more homes, then you know, our home builders are going to be still in business because they're building more. Or you constrain it and build less, and then the prices will be higher. You know, we hear this before, well, I don't want towers in my neighborhood. Building more homes doesn't necessarily mean towers, but when we're only able to build on about 25% of the overall land base and the rest of it is all zoned single family, then you have to build up. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, again, we need to really look at this and say, how do we do this?
So what is your message then to candidates right now in this series of municipal elections that are happening?
I think, like, my message is you've got to be very clear about, you know, how there's a recognition that we have to build more homes for people. So how are we going to do it? And the way we're doing it right now isn't working. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at the delays. Why is it taking 4, 5, 6 years to get approvals? It's the fees and charges. It's the overlapping policies, the lack of hierarchy in policies. To go in the city of Vancouver, I don't want to keep picking on the city of Vancouver, but you have to go through 25 different steps to get approval. And sometimes by the time you get to the 23rd step and you've made all these changes to get past the 23rd step and the 25th, then you go back to number one, well, you no longer comply, if you know what I mean, because you've made all these changes. Well, now that department doesn't like it.
Oh, no.
So then you're going around in circles. Now, the new general manager planning recognizes this, and they're trying to bring about change, but again, it's difficult and it does require political leadership. And I think that in some municipalities we've seen it, and in others I don't think we have. And you know, the city of Vancouver will always be more expensive. There will always be more demand. But I think that we can bring in rental housing, we can bring in rental homes, we can even have a mix of social housing. But we have to look at our land base. We have to look at our neighborhoods and say, what does that look like? And I'm not saying that everything is it doesn't even have to have a wholesale change. If you're able to, you know, build in more duplexes, row homes, townhomes, you can maintain the character and still bring in more homes for people to buy.
And so what's your message to voters?
Ask the tough questions about what, you know, what is my community going to look like? And I would also say, how do they get involved?
Well, and I think that that's a big part of it, because there have been voices that have been yelling from the sidelines and everybody else has remained quiet. And so therefore, you get the reaction that you get.
That's right. I mean, my message is find a way to build more choice for British Columbians, more choice for people who live in Vancouver, more home choices, different options, a diversity of housing types, and we've got to move quickly.
Thank you. And cheering your thoughts.
Thank you. Pleasure.